Welcome back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Our mission is to bring you great interviews with preppers from around the world so you can be better informed and better prepared for everything from a hurricane to the end of the world as we know it. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, water filters, bug-out bags, and first aid kits. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your entire order at CampingSurvival.com.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my guest appearance on Soaring Eagles Radio with Dr. Mike Spaulding. Enjoy the show.
So, real estate bubble is about to burst again. Yeah, timeline?
I don't know what the timeline is. My crystal bra is in the shop. but you know, Freddie and Fannie, they never stopped with the 3% down loans, you know. So and the government's got about as much business being in real estate as they have in education or healthcare or welfare or marriage. Yes. Or any of the other institutions they've destroyed.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think that we'll probably see another one. I talked to Fabian Calvo, which is kind of a big real estate guru, and he thinks that the bubble's got a little bit further to go. But then again, getting back to that the Shemitah and then a lot of secular economists that see something really bad coming this fall, like Martin Armstrong, who's successfully called a few things. And he thinks around October we'll get a big bond bubble. And if we get a collapse in the bonds, that means rates are going to go up. And if rates go up, then all of these people that you know, their job is working at Walmart or Starbucks or McDonald's, because that's the best they could get with a master's degree from Columbia, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
They're not going to be able to afford the higher rates.
Yeah.
And that's going to bring the housing prices back down again.
Yeah. Well, and the United States government is not helping itself. It's not being consistent on economic policy, and it does not, absolutely does not have the best interests of American citizens at heart. One example of that, the most recent example of that, is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That is going to devastate the U.S. job market. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, from what I know, it's going to just give more power to the corporations. But then again, nobody really knows. It's kind of like Obamacare. We don't really know what's in it. And Paul Ryan is he's parroting Nancy Pelosi now, and he's saying, you know, we're going to have to pass the bill to see what's in it.
Oh,
you know, and we expect that out of the left. But when it comes to somebody like Ryan that betrays the people who elected him, he should be charged with treason. You know, instead, any legislator who discloses the contents of TPP is at risk of being charged with leaking confidential information.
Wow. How did we ever get to this point where that is the case? One of the telltale signs of a disintegrating society, Mark, is the moral rot that it'll tolerate. And I'm not going to take us off into the recent Supreme Court decision regarding same-sex marriage. We'll save that for another show. But America has certainly fallen on hard times, and it appears now that America is more the land of the deceived and the asleep than it is the land of the free and the brave. One of the things I'd like to touch on is the idea that socialism has gained a very strong foothold and is actually the ideological force that's driving much of what we see in politics today. It's been described, Fabian socialism specifically, has been described as a socialist ideology that prefers to move the herd very slowly in order to accomplish its objectives. What can you tell us about some of these things that are going on in our culture and why we've arrived at those today?
Well, that strategy of moving us a little bit at a time, I think that it's a proven method, isn't it? I mean, all the atrocities that have been rolled out at once on the Jews in Nazi Germany, they'd have revolted, but through slow, systematic conditioning, they didn't even put up a fight. So I think that that's exactly what's being done to us in the way of introducing socialism into our culture. And that's something that you can blame both parties for. FDR was made huge advances into bringing us into a socialist country. We just mentioned Social Security, which is a very, we didn't put grandma out on the porch when she turned 70 and let the wolves eat her, before Social Security. You had family, you had savings, you prepared for that your whole life, and you had community, and when people, if somebody had a disabled child and they weren't able to care for the child and work, and the child was never able to have gainful employment or whatever, the church took care of them. But we weeded out the people that would milk the system because, my church, my old church that I left in Fort Lauderdale when we moved recently, they had a huge ministry for the misfortunate. And if you would go in there and ask for a handout, they'd sit you down. How did you get in this situation? Why are you in this situation? What do you need? And, what can we do to get you out of it? But that's not what socialism does. Socialism says, what can we do to trap you in it?
Yes.
And how can we make you comfortable in your poverty so you'll always vote for us?
That's right.
So, and it's just been, it's like you said, it's been a long, slow process. Bush even voted for the Medicare Part D, which just made a bigger, put the government in charge of more things that we should be responsible for ourselves. And which is a big part of why the medical industry was so messed up in the first place and got us to the point of accepting something as atrocious as Obamacare, which the Affordable Care Act, our premiums went up 400%.
Wow, 400%. One of the things that I like to tell folks is, listen, there essentially is no difference between the R's and the D's except the speed at which they're trying to enslave you. The Democrats are perfectly fine with doing it pretty rapid succession. The Republicans want to take a little longer to do it, but they're both after the same objective. Here's an example that comes to mind when we're talking about this whole social ideology taking hold in America and moving to a place and recreating our culture into something we never could have imagined. Now, others have pictured it. George Orwell comes to mind right off the bat. But thinking about our domestic police force, local police forces, they much more closely resemble SWAT teams. Light armor, mechanized attack forces now than they do the friendly neighborhood patrolmen that we knew growing up. The Justice Department is bent on taking over the larger municipal police departments and recreating them into something that they should never be. Do you have any comment on that, Mark?
Well, in markets like LA, it might be warranted, but when you see it in Mayberry, it's conditioning, pure and simple, and it's just getting us ready to deal with an increasingly more oppressive state, you know, because we've been seeing that ever since 9/11, and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. And I don't expect that to let up at all. And Washington bribes the local police departments with trinkets through their 1033 program, where they give up armored vehicles to small police departments and municipalities. And it makes me wonder what they're getting ready for. And I just, it worries me. It's another one of those things that you just wish you didn't know about.
Right, right. That I guess maybe a good tangent on this is Jade Helm. What's your take on that?
Well, I hope it's conditioning, but it's very, very curious that it wraps up on September 15th, which is 2 days after Shemitah. So I wonder if there's some folks at the Pentagon that have been watching some Jonathan Cahn videos.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
Because you see when you look at the pictures, if you've watched any alternative news, because you didn't see it on Fox or CNN, the lines in Greece, but the folks are very, very civilized there, and even in their protesting, they're very civilized. When you come to America and you see our protests, when you see what happened in Ferguson, and you see what happened in Baltimore, Our empty ATM lines are not going to look like their empty ATM lines. And our hoarding at the grocery store is not going to look like it looks in Greece. It's going to be much, much more violent. It's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proved to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on silver and gold. Check out silver.com today. Whether it's a grid down situation or just a temporary power outage from a storm, a sun oven will allow you to harness the power of the sun. Not only will you conserve resources, you'll maintain operational security by not sending up smoke. You can cook or dehydrate just about anything, including bread, muffins, roasts, jerky, beans, rice, and so much more. Go to sunoven.com/prepperrecon for an $80 discount off a deluxe package.
Well, on another area, our judicial system continues to create law out of thin air, which clearly is not their role. Why do you think the legislature doesn't step up and rebuke that kind of mismanagement, misinterpretation of the Constitution, Mark?
I don't know. I suspect that there's probably a lot of, you know, I think that it's abused, the system's abused from both sides of the aisle. And it's one of those things that, the same way that you don't see too much attacking from the right for things about the left and vice versa, sort of a you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours kind of a thing. I suppose there's a lot of that to where they're both abusing that system. They just had to go along with the status quo. But then there's some other folks that should be speaking out that you would expect to be speaking out more that don't. And for them, I don't know. Maybe the CIA has a dossier on them and there's information in those dossiers that could be used to quiet them down if they start speaking out too much. And of course the CIA, you know, I mean, if they need to, they can always put a little child porn on your computer and character assassination. So I don't know. I wonder if there's some degree of intimidation that people were told that this is just the way it is now.
Yeah, it's a real head scratcher for me too, and I've come to sort of the same conclusion that they've got something on somebody. It's either blackmail or bribery, because the things that they're remaining quiet about just defy logic and reason. Another area that is becoming more focused and is drawing a little more attention, at least in the sources that I read and go to for information is the attack on homeschool families. Examples are all over the place if you know where to look, of the government, the U.S. government forcing homeschool families to comply with regulations. Common Core, for example, is the latest that they're trying to infiltrate homeschool families. Have you read much on this, Mark?
Yeah, I have, and that's actually part of the days of Noah in conspiracy. You know, they're homeschooling their child, and she's taken away from them, and of course, when they come in to take her away, they shoot the dog, because that's typically what law enforcement's instructed to do. Anytime they come into a home that has a barking dog, even if it's non-threatening, they just the protocol is to shoot it for many, many departments, rather than to ask the homeowner to put it in a bathroom or another room or something to where it wouldn't be a threat to the officer. They just shoot it, which a lot of folks look at their pet like a family member. But getting off on a rabbit trail, but yeah, and homeschooling, they can't have it, because the public education system is the most fundamental level of state indoctrination, and it's got to be preserved at all costs. You know, if you've got 1% of the population homeschooling, that's okay, because you've still got basically this sort of herd mentality, this herd immunity from anybody ever getting any type of ability to think for themselves. But if children can't be brainwashed through the education system, then the state's just going to have to roll out outright re-education camps to maintain the status quo. You know, and that's where they do their indoctrination, and they teach your children that, you know, that's where we teach our children to be atheist, because yeah. We tell them that you came from an ape, you know, which says there's no God. Everything that your Sunday school teacher tells you is a lie, and mm-hmm. He's got you for 30 minutes a week, and I've got you for 6 hours a day. So right. who do you think that child's going to believe?
Yeah, that's right. Well, and I've made it a point on occasion, when the text justifies it, to point out many of the inconsistencies in evolutionary theory and how it conflicts with God's word and people as image bearers. But as you know, evolution teaches survival of the fittest, and that evolutionary theory teaches that species should be doing everything within their power to make sure they advance their genetic code to the next generation. And if that applies to human beings, then the question I like to ask people is, how can you speak out against bullying or any of these other issues that we face as a culture, if we're teaching our children that they're just a matter of space, time, and chance, and there's nothing significant about their lives, and that they should be doing everything they can to make sure they have all that they need? Seems to me contradictory in the least. Anyway, all of this seems to be, to some, a bit of doom and gloom. So let's switch and remind our reader or our listeners that those that know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that He has overcome all of this, all of these things that we've talked about on this show, Mark, that Christ has already overcome, and because of that, we are overcomers as well. So I want to remind our listeners of that fact. Our hope is not in the government. It's not in a political party. It's not in a nation. It's not in our bank accounts. It's not in any of these things that we've talked about, but our hope is in Jesus Christ. So on more of a practical level, what can people do to prepare for some of these situations that we've been talking about? What can they do personally to get ready for some of these things?
Well, I think that you hit the nail on the head for your number one step, and that's going to be to have your hope in Christ and to be spiritually prepared for the dark days that are coming. And last week I was reading 2 Peter and chapter 2, and in verse 5, it starts, it says, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment. So we know that whatever's coming on this country, God's able to separate the wheat from the chaff, and we saw that in Egypt and Goshen, you know. But now in this, and this just really struck me last week when I read this in 2 Peter, but, you know, God saved Noah, and he saved Lot. But let me tell you what, that is two very, very different survival stories right there.
Yes, that's right.
Noah had you know, he was told by God what was going to happen, and he spent 120 years preparing for that. He built the ark, did what he could. He got his his provisions together. It was more than he could do. There was no way in the world he was going to be able to run around and get two of every animal. But he did his best, and then God did the rest. He brought the all the critters together for the ark. And then when the ark rested, Noah had a place to stay. He had shelter in that ark. He had food. He had the animals reproducing. You know, if he had two rabbits in there, and a couple of chickens, then, you know, he had protein. He had rabbit meat, and he had eggs and milk from the cows. And, you know, I'm sure he had two bees, so he had honey. He had a lot of great stuff going on in there. And he was very, very well prepared. And when the flood waters subsided, he was pretty well set. Lot, on the other hand, he lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. There's a point, if you read in Genesis, where Abraham has to go in and rescue Lot because Sodom and Gomorrah has been overtaken by a ruthless gang of marauders. And after that, Lot goes back and lives in that city. And I wonder if that was a wake up call to tell Lot, you know what? This isn't the best place. This isn't my highest and best will for you to be in this city. And you really need to think about relocating maybe to a little bit more rural population. But what happens is that he's still in that city when the angels come to bring the fire and brimstone, and he's rushed out in the middle of the night. We don't even know that he has a go bag. His wife doesn't make it, you know, whether she's just so enthralled with the culture and the, you know, the shopping and whatever it is in the city, and she just has to be there. You know, she just can't leave it, and she's got to turn around for one more look, which costs her life. His daughters, you know, I guess they were in the public education system, because they've got a very, very, if you read the rest of the story, they've got a very, very distorted view of what sexuality should be. Mm-hmm. You know, so he didn't, you know, I don't know, you know, he didn't want to take the girls out of school. The wife doesn't want to leave, or friends and all of this. I don't know what the reason was that he stayed, but it just about cost him everything. And God rescued him, but it was by the skin of his teeth. And it's a very, very different survival story than Noah's. And unfortunately, we hear so many Lots in the church today that, I know what's coming to this nation, but God's going to take care of us. We're going to pray, you know. What are you going to pray for? You're going to pray for somebody that's prepared. That's what you're going to pray for.
Yes, that's
right. And there's a few practical things people can do beyond praying. I think that prayer is, you know, that's that spiritual preparedness, and that's being spiritually prepared, and that has to do with who you are. Another thing that has to do with who you are is being physically prepared. We saw a lot of people this past winter that just keeled over from heart attacks because they were up on their roof trying to shovel the snow off before it collapsed their roof up in the Northeast. And a lot of them didn't make it because they keeled over from heart attacks. So they weren't in physical condition to be able to handle a disaster. And and then the next level after that is being financially prepared. You know, if you're in debt up to your eyeballs and you're spending more than you make, and we have an economic crisis, you're not going to make it. People that were in debt up to their eyeballs in 2008, they lost their home. A lot of them lost their job. They had no cushion, and you know, and they're still fighting and struggling. A lot of them still.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's definitely the next place you want to start, is making sure that you're on a sustainable budget yourself. And then from there, we can just look at the Greeks. You know, what are they trying to do right now? Well, they're trying to get money and they're trying to get food. So, you know, if you're trusting the bank to hold all of your money, that might not be the best idea. You might want to keep a little cash around the house in a safe place where it's not going to get stolen. And stock up a little bit of food. You know, we recommend starting with a month and then trying to build from there. In a real easy, cheap way to build up a month's worth of food is to just take a 50-gallon bucket, and you can either take Mylar bags or you can take a Food Saver if you already have one of those, and you can put a 20-pound bag of rice in there. I just saw it at Walmart for about $8.50. And then you can throw a few bags of dried beans in there, and they're about $1, $1.50 a pound, whether you go to Walmart or what your local grocery store is. And you can put 10 pounds of beans in there. And for about $20, you can fill up one of these buckets and just cap it off. And you've got 20 days worth of food in one of those buckets for one person, or 10 days for two people. And that's a real quick way to just jumpstart your food program, your food storage program. And then from there, just buy the stuff that you buy already that stores well. If you like spaghetti and pasta, get that and try to shop the deals, you know, go to the store when it's buy one, get one free. And, most stores will let you use a store coupon and a manufacturer coupon on the item that you're paying for. And a lot of them will let you use the store coupon and the manufacturer coupon on the free item. So if you've got a can of spaghetti sauce and it's $4, you're getting one, buy one, you're going to buy one, get one free. So now it's down to two. And if you've got a dollar coupon from the store and a dollar manufacturer coupon and on both of them, now you're getting both jars free.
Yeah.
So, So there's a lot of stuff. This doesn't have to be expensive. And then from there, you want to make sure that you're going to be able to take care of security. I've had a couple of police officers from the Southern California area on the show recently, and both of them say, you know, when things get bad, they're not going to be able to take care of everything. It's not that they don't want to. It's not that they don't feel the duty to, but they're absolutely overrun. And we've seen that in Ferguson, where the police just had to stand down. There was nothing they could do, and they just burnt that city to the ground. And we saw it in Baltimore, where the mayor told them to give them room to destroy and stand down. So whether they're being told to stand down or whether it's just because they don't have the capacity to deal with the situation, in a grid down situation without rule of law, you're going to be handling security yourself. And if you're the softest marshmallow on the street, guess where they're coming first? You know, so that's not who you want to be. And, Paul tells us that, you know, he who doesn't take care of his own, who doesn't provide for the needs of his own family, is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. Well, that's not just food in the fridge and a roof over your head. You know, that's everything that your family needs to sustain life. And sometimes that means security.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. So I imagine that some of our listeners, Mark, were frantically trying to scribble these things down, all of these tips and guidelines and things that they can do. Is there some place that they can go at Prepper Recon and get this in pamphlet, booklet, or book form?
We cover all of this stuff regularly on Prepper Recon through the posts and through the podcast. I'm going to tell you, the fiction books, I try to sneak enough of that stuff in there, not enough to where it's just a survival manual, but I try to give you a lot of thoughts and tips and tricks and things in the fiction books, both in the economic Collapse Chronicles and in The Days of Noah, where you're seeing the characters in these different situations where they're having to survive. And it forces you to think, if I was in this situation where Noah's at right now, would I be able to get through it? Do I have the resources that I need to survive that type of situation that he's in right now? And, you know, what if we had that type of economic collapse? What are my resources? How could I manage them? But then also I have written a couple of nonfiction books, and both of those I've co-authored with David Kobler, who also has the Southern Prepper One YouTube channel, and he does a lot of good survival tips on there as well. And he was one of the advisors for Doomsday Preppers for the first two seasons. And he's a veteran from Iraq, so he's seen some tough times for sure. And our first book was called Retreat Security and Small Unit Tactics, which is very, very good for, you know, if you want to put together a neighborhood watch for really tough times, or just some things that you can think about to harden your home and be ready to take care of security yourself if you need to. And then the next one is called The 7-Step Survival Plan. And we wrote that specifically for the people that you just mentioned, the people that are just overwhelmed. They've said, you know what? I don't want to be a lot. I know God's going to take care of me. I know he's going to see me through it, but I don't really necessarily want to go up to the mountain with, you know, my spouse is dead. I've got, now I'm a single parent. I've got two children that have coming out of the public school systems that know absolutely nothing and are going to make some really bad decisions. And I just don't know what I'm going to do. And they don't want to be in that position, even though God will rescue them. I'd rather be a Noah. I'd rather have the shelter. I'd rather have the food, and I'd rather be ready. And it's called the 7-Step Survival Plan. And it's meant to make it not so overwhelming, to give you a starting point to break it all down into easy to do steps and to prioritize them so that you don't get ahead of yourself. And because a lot of times the first thing people want to do when they hear about an economic collapse, okay, well, I'm going to take all my money and I'm going to buy gold and silver. All right. Yeah. Well, you know what? That's a great part of the plan. But if you don't have any storable food, if you don't have any cash, what are you going to do? You know, when there's nobody else has any cash, because you can't eat your goat and you can't eat your silver. Gold and silver, you know, Genesis 13:2 says that Abraham was wealthy in cattle and gold and silver. So it's always been a store of value, and it's great for that. And if you've got a lot of wealth, I think it's a great way to preserve part of your wealth to what's going to be on the other side. But you got to get there first, and you're going to need those practical things, you know, food and shelter and security and water and medical, you know, medical stuff. Because when the cops aren't on the street anymore, you know, the doctor doesn't go to work anymore either, because he's going to stay home and he's going to have to take care of his own family.
Yeah.
So you want to have some basic first aid kit, which we also sell at PrepperRecon.com. We've got a nice individual first aid kit, and it's got some advanced trauma equipment in it for, you know, deep lacerations or, God forbid, gunshot wounds or anything like that. So,
yeah. Yeah. We've been talking with author Mark Goodwin, host of Prepper Recon podcast. Check out the website, PrepperRecon.com. I'm on the website right now looking at it. Click the store tab to check out some of these items that Mark's been talking about. There's a lot of good resources under the links tab as well. And if you have questions for Mark, I'm sure he'd be happy to answer those. So touch base with him on the contact form. Where else can they find you on social media, Mark? Are you on Twitter or Facebook or any of those things?
We don't do Facebook anymore because they shut it down to where if they tell me I'm not a person. So, you know, I don't know, maybe they're right. But I feel like a person, but you never know. Maybe they're right. That guy's got more money than I do. So I guess you got to listen to him. But we are on Twitter, and we tweet, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. And I'm also on YouTube. We syndicate all of the podcasts also go to YouTube, and we're going to be having some exclusive content that's going to be just for YouTube subscribers. So go over to the Prepper Recon YouTube channel and subscribe there, and you'll make sure to get email alerts when any new content comes up.
Okay. iTunes is the podcast
Prepper Recon,
there?
Yeah, Prepper Recon's also on iTunes. It's on Stitcher, all those podcatchers.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, Mark, I think we've probably got a part two to this conversation, and we can maybe focus in on a couple of these things in a little more detail. You up for that?
Pastor Mike, I'd love to do it.
That would be awesome. Well, I appreciate you being on the show, Mark, and we'll set up a time and get a part two figured out.
All right. Thanks so much. God bless.
God bless you.
In the Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. A globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback or audio edition at Amazon.com today.